Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey there, you're listening to Waking Up in America, presented by Mary Louise Zeller, 20 times gold medal taekwondo champion, informs an international Kayani distribution agent. Dynamic radio dialogues on life today in America. Today we have on air with us Ellen Brown of Public Bank Solution, Randy Shannon, triathlete co-host, and just incredibly informed human being, and Dr. Lewis Constantine, who's actually a heart surgeon, and I'm Val Kirkgaard here, and we've been humming and buzzing on the bridge for about 10 minutes now and talking with our wonderful, and he is wonderful, our wonderful badass announcer, Mike Vitale. I love this guy so much.
You know it.
You know
I am.
You are. So here we are, guys. We're on the radio, and we're here again today, and it's September 7th. And I'm telling you, this country is, like, so on the edge of making the biggest mistake in their of the history of the planet. It's absolutely breathtaking. So I was scanning history today to find out if anything interesting happened on September the 11th that could be relevant to what we're up to. September 7th. Did I say 11th?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what I'm worried about, don't you? I'm worried about a false flag on September the 11th, so that's popping out of my mouth. On September 7th, in 1251 B.C., Hercules was born. So I am requesting that every one of us who listens to this and all of our friends and all of this, we go around and we put on the Hercules energy, because that's what it's going to take to get these greedy buggers disengaged from Syria and everything else they're up to. I'm sure we'll have plenty of conversation on this today. But we're here to bring you power and balance, okay? And we want to make things happen for you. So we're torchbearers. We're angels, anything you want to call it like that. We hold the light for freedom, and we hold the light for possibility. So I'm an Olympic torchbearer, and that actually means that I respect the vibrancy of the 2,000-year-old Greek flame, which was the world's first republic. And please, 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 please do not make us the last, okay? Sidius Altius Fortius, swifter, higher, stronger. That is the torchbearer's creed. It isn't get your machine gun. It isn't take out this person and that person and the other thing. The forces that have been running this world for centuries, for absolutely centuries, enjoy nothing more than getting us stirred up and bombing each other, okay? Because they own both sides of the page. That's what they do. That's how they make it work. So I know England's gotten a lot of bad PR, but there's some very incredible Englishmen speaking right now. And one of them is what Sir William would do in Syria. It comes from Medford, Mass. He said the use of nerve gas in Syria is an abhorrent, and those within the Syrian military command who ordered it are war criminals. It is folly to think that airstrikes can be limited. They are ill-conceived as punishment. They fail to protect citizens, and most of important, they hinder peacemaking. The use of chemical weapons should not be punished. The use of chemical weapons should be punished. No country should remain neutral when human beings are being gassed. This is one thing on which the United States, Russia, and Iran can agree. But the most convincing punishment will come through the International War Crimes Tribunal outside Syria. So President Obama is planning on facing the nation on Tuesday night to talk us into this bad, 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 mooey mall, awful, terrible idea one more time of destroying people on the basis that these children were killed, which I'm not even convinced that they were, to tell you the truth, or if they were, I don't think it's who they say were doing it. And Randy, you got any comments here?
Yeah, I do. Fox News has even covered the story that the rebels are armed by our government and by the Saudis, and they're in there slaughtering Christians. So is Obama a Christian, or isn't he? And why is he?
I think he's a Muslim.
I think he's a Muslim, and I know that he told the Saudi president or leader, whatever you call him, wait till you see what I will do once I'm in. Years ago, he said that. Now he's in, and he's according to Fox News and other sources, he's arming these rebels, and so it looks like Assad did it. Nobody believes Assad did it. And, you know, nobody's buying the story. And then we hear six days ago, right today, that secretly in the cover of night, a bunch of nuclear warheads left a base in Texas headed for South Carolina. And Lindsey Graham was on the news the other day saying South Carolina is about to be nuked. Well, how would they know they're about to be nuked? Because they moved them from Texas? It sounds like an inside job. It sounds like a false flag.
Yeah, it's another one.
South Carolinians ought to be worried, and I think the whole country needs to be concerned, because they're going to, the ones that aren't hearing this, the ones that don't know this kind of news, will think that we were hurt by quote-unquote terrorists. But I think the terrorists could be sitting in the highest job of seat of this land.
I think
there
so
is a potential war criminal sitting there, a potential murderer sitting there.
Well, one
and
of the
people
things,
need to look this up.
One of the I totally agree with you. Okay, and there has been some comment around that perhaps his family is being held hostage or something of that nature. Any comment on that?
I have not heard that. I have heard Iran say that if a strike is made, they're going to abduct and murder American citizens all over the world, and they will start with his family, and they're going after one of his daughters. I haven't heard that his family is being held, and if they are, you don't take a whole country down.
Well, if you're a coward, you do.
Anyway, well, that's true.
I don't know what the truth is behind all of this. I know that this man that calls himself president is getting on television Tuesday night to try to enroll us in this, and this is just not the way it's going to go. Not on my
Well, Russia and China aren't going to sit still, and Iran's not going to sit still. Russia's already moved, I think, their fifth warship into place. We're in well set range for them to attack us or attack bases. They plan on attacking American bases all over the world. And the thing is our boys are being thrown into this, our boys and girls in the military. We didn't sign up to be whatever this is, murderers all over the world. And they got to look inside and say, you know, I can't take bad orders. I'm upholding the Constitution, and I'm supposed to be protecting our country, not attacking other countries where they don't even have evidence. In fact, the evidence that's there, if you look it up on Drudge, they said that there is no evidence.
Yeah, none. I was reading the WND, and it says Bizarro America. It says, in the world of Superman comics, the crazed character named Bizarro was a clone of Superman with all of the Man of Steel's abilities and powers except for one thing, a total rebel. Everything Bizarro thought and did was purposely the opposite of whatever the real Superman did. Bizarro lived in a Bizarro world, and by God, I'm ashamed of Bizarro America, because that's what it looks like to me. It's like...
Well, there's a headline that says, Obama, Congress is supposed to represent me, not the American people. He's wrong. That's Bizarro. That is Bizarro to me. No, they're to represent us, and they're getting, out of 500 calls going into the White House right now, all are opposed to the war except for four. But this is the average. For every 500 calls, only four want to go fight.
Well, this is very interesting because this makes the figure even higher. You know, I said it was almost 90%, something like that. So
mm-hmm.
This makes it way past that. This makes 99%.
Yeah.
So, you know, Louise...
I think we've really got to be concerned about these nukes that have left. This happened a few years ago up in maybe North Dakota or somewhere where there was some kind of missiles, Tomahawk missiles, that disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody signed off on that. And everybody denied, denied, denied. And the same thing is happening in this Texas base. And the press has been calling, basically grassroots kind of press, you know, internet news sources where I go because they're more truthful, and they're calling, and this base is not confirming nor denying. However, now, because the word is spreading, we may have, you know, thwarted something here, but who
well,
knows?
The problem, Randy, too, is when you hear about troop movements, when you hear about the ordering of all kinds of FEMA supplies for a major catastrophe in Zone 3, which, by the way, South Carolina is in Zone 3, and all of these things are supposed to be in place by October 1st, that's really disturbing, because that means they know something's going to happen, and they're waiting for it. And they're preparing for it. So we've had billions of... So what can we do as human beings, and how can we get around this? We're almost to our guest, Ellen Brown. I wondered if you wanted to make any comments of any sort, Lewis.
You know, I was... this is a little bit tangential, but there was a study published, I think, earlier this summer... by some folks in England who are analyzing comments on the web regarding the 9/11 event that had to do with the concept of conspiracy theory and how now the majority of folks who post comments express concern that there's something other than the official story, whereas the folks who are supporting the official story tend to manifest hostility and other what are considered aberrant behaviors. So there's been a shift in terms of how, you know, what's normative and how people behave when they talk about what's happening worldwide and what's happening behind the scenes. So I'm not sure how that fits in here, but I think the fact that people are waking up to the reality that there's something more
that's
going
right.
on that's not driven by public interest. Certainly, this is just another example of that.
Yeah, perfect. And that was your quote, Randy, when he was saying that Congress is supposed to answer to him, you know?
Yeah, he's very confused on what Congress is actually there for. That is absolutely not accurate. They're there for the people. And I feel false flag. I feel false flag about South Carolina. And also, all of this stuff has really taken the attention off of the fact that the IRS is totally going after anybody who's a patriot in this country, who believes in the Constitution. You know, Fast and Furious has been all but forgotten. And then you had the consulate attack where the Americans were killed, including the Navy SEALs and the ambassador. And, you know, all of these things are just being swept under the rug. Nobody's even talking about them anymore. And, you know, this is what happens. Clinton bombed an aspirin factory to take attention off of him and Lewinsky. You know, it's a weird thing, and I can't believe it's still allowed in this, you know, we keep putting these people into power.
I want to introduce our guest, okay? Our guest is From Austerity to Prosperity, The Public Bank Solution, Ellen Brown, author of Web of Debt. I actually was going through Ellen's book, and I was a little horrified. Perhaps you'd like to tell our listeners from page 238 of your book, From Hawk to Dove, how America actually forced Japan into war?
That would be my book, The Public Bank Solution, not
yes.
The Web of Debt.
Yes, yes,
by
yes.
Valerie.
Yes,
I just want to make one comment about, that was very insightful about September 11th. You know, he's going to be talking about this evening of September 10th. So the next day is September 11th.
Just kind of gets you, doesn't it?
Yeah, how they set these things up that way.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Public Bank Solution, the whole, in Web of Debt, I set up, I showed that... money is actually created by banks and not by governments, as most people think. So the way that the international bank cartel has gotten power is that it appears that governments create the money, but in fact it is private banks and private central banks or privately controlled central banks that issue the money and lend it to the people, and they issue it in the form of a loan. So all of our money is debt. And there's always more owed back than was originally issued, because they don't create the interest along with the principal. They lend the principal, and then they take back principal and interest. So we're always in this
debt
trap that we can't escape. I mean, it's mathematically impossible to escape this debt trap, and that's how they have control. So in the public bank solution, so I ended with our one and only public bank in the U.S., which is the Bank of North Dakota, and North Dakota is the only state that escaped the credit crisis totally. They've had a very nice budget surplus every year since 2008. They have the lowest default rate in the country, the lowest foreclosure rate, the most local banks per capita, so that the Bank of North Dakota actually works with the local banks to help them keep loans on their books.
Is it an Indian bank by any chance?
That's what I was going to say. I knew there was something about an Indian bank and their currency or something there, backed by actual gold or something.
I think there is. I think there is some Indian. Is that in Texas or somewhere in the South? I forgot. But I'm talking about like a state bank, a state-owned bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would say, well, North Dakota is a small state. It's got oil. That happened 100 years ago, or it was formed, 100 years ago. You couldn't do it now. I mean, there are all these reasons why we couldn't do it today. So then I thought we needed more data, so I looked at public banks globally and historically. And, in fact, 40% of banks globally are publicly owned, and they're doing very well overall. I mean, they're doing better than the private banks, and the countries that are largely public bank dominated are doing better than we are, and that would be particularly the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which all have strong public banking sectors. And Japan was a particularly interesting case because in the 1930s, they, taking a lesson from C.H. Douglas, who was came from England and lectured on social credit, the idea that that there's never enough money out there just by the nature of our system, that producers pay for workers and materials, and that's the money that we have to spend on our products, but they always add interest and profits and so forth to their price. So they always charge more than there is money out there to pay for the products. So the solution is that the government has to issue some extra money, and that will balance the system and make it a sustainable system. So Japan took this idea and used it to subsidize their industries, which wasn't actually what Douglas had in mind. But what they did then was become they had this very strong economy, and Germany did the same thing, where instead of paying off these foreign creditors that they couldn't possibly pay, they, due to the war reparations, the fact that they were required to pay off everybody in World War II, instead they just issued their own money, funded their own industry, and during the 1930s, they totally turned their economy around. They had full employment, and this was why, while everybody else in the world was going through this serious depression. So Japan and Germany were running circles around everyone else. And from the point of view of the international bankers, this is a model that could not be allowed to stand. I mean, if everybody could see that all they had to do was issue their own money, they could
escape the debt
trap. The
whole house of cards would fall.
So in order to stop Japan, to block Japan, we did an embargo, which prevented them from getting any, the essential things that they needed to run an economy. So they really had no choice.
What year was that they did the embargo? Was that 39?
Well, it was 1941 that we had the bombing of...
Right, but the embargo drove the Japanese to the bombing, right?
Right. I'm not sure. That sounds right. Yeah, it probably was about then. So they had been cut off from the supplies that they needed. So we egged them into war with us, and it looks to me like we're doing the same thing with Iran. I think Iran is the ultimate target in this Middle Eastern thing. So by bombing Syria... But that's getting off track.
Did you ever? No, not really. Did you ever see the Middle East hit list?
No.
I did about 2 or 3 years ago. They're literally. It was headed by Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're moving right down the list. There were about 6 or 7 Middle Eastern countries that they wanted to destroy by sicking them on each other.
Right. That Wesley Clark said that in 2005, I think, when we were going to war with Iraq. He said that on a Democracy Now! Program, that he was told that by a general in 2001 that they were planning to go to war with Iraq, Iran, Syria,
yeah, that's the
Libya,
list.
Lebanon, and the two other S's, what were they? Somalia,
Saudi Arabia?
Sudan. No, Saudi Arabia's on the other side, I think. I mean, they have caved, in other words, to the international bank system.
So I find that incredibly frightening.
And those countries are also the holdouts from the Bank for International Settlements and the World Trade Organization. In other words, they are not being regulated by international banking rules. And I think that is the ultimate target, to get everybody.
Yeah, everybody's got to bow down to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, we'll attack you. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So we were actually talking about, then I was flipping through the book again, and I ended up with a fiat currency that actually was worth something, which was part of what the Chinese created a while back. So fiat currency doesn't have to be valueless currency, but that's what it is right now, correct?
Well, all currency right now is fiat currency, and the difference is if you have... Well, let's say an ideal. Let's look at what the American colonists did and what Lincoln did, which was to issue greenbacks or colonial scrip. But these were not empty currencies. What they were was an IOU or a promise to pay in return for goods and services. In other words, they were balanced by the goods and services that came in. So somebody gave the government goods or services, and the government gave them and a little IOU, acknowledging that we, the people, collectively have received value, and you are entitled to value in return, and all the people acknowledge that they will pay in, you know, they'll accept this little IOU as a form of currency, and that is where our money came from, and that's where it actually should come from, is from the government paying for things that the people collectively need. But what we have now in the form of an empty currency is banks create money. We have this whole shadow banking system where they're creating money from our deposits, even though the deposits are still there, and from the securities that they buy with their quote-unquote excess deposits. And what they're doing is gambling with it. In other words, they're using that as collateral in the repo market, where they then leverage, if they borrow like many times what the collateral is, and then they use that those loans to speculate. So they have very low interest loans. They get money very cheaply, in other words, but it's really just credit. So it's really credit just created on the books, and then they use that for all these derivatives that are now up to conservatively $700 trillion. Some people say they're up to twice that.
You know, I was actually looking at something that I underlined in the book, because I'm wondering if this is what we do to all countries that we occupy, what we did with Japan. One of the things that you say with regards to Japan, and it looks to me like this may be a template of what we do when we go into a country, the people of Japan were expressly forbidden to go to war and denied Japan the right to have anything beyond purely defensive military forces. Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution states that the Japanese people forever renounce war as a sovereign right. It seems to me like that would be a good thing for us to take on. It looks like we get everybody else to give up war as a sovereign right, and then we come in as the dominators, and I'm wondering if this is the model that's being used as troops march through these different countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Iran, it just makes so little sense that the thing that Iran is allegedly guilty of is secretly preparing nuclear weapons, which nobody has even proved yet.
And you mean weapons of mass destruction?
And we have all these other countries that already have nuclear weapons. Why is Iran not allowed to have them? I mean, why don't we bomb India and Pakistan and, yeah.
Us. Russia. Because we we're supposed to be putting good leaders in place that actually won't go off half crazed, and yet we're a warmongering country. We're the ones that headed up around the entire world. It makes no sense, does it?
Mike Vitale, you've been incredibly quiet.
I'm listening. This is interesting.
Isn't it?
Look, not quite.
What do you think of all of this, Mike, since you were a Marine?
Well, I lived in Israel for 4 years, had to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces as a backup militia reservist, and I married an Israeli woman, so I saw how they dealt with the Middle East, the Israelis, and there ain't no one major conflicts. And when they do something, they take care of it, they do it without anyone knowing, and they get out, but they make their mark. The way in which we're dealing with this is, to me, really ridiculous.
Yeah, the president doesn't look good. He looks incredibly weak. Nobody wants to back him. However, on Drudge, the headline just changed that the EU is now backing him.
Really?
Yeah, it just changed.
I find that
changed.
Hard to believe.
It literally just changed in the last few seconds. It says, EU, all info on Syria gas attacks point to Assad. When Fox News is doing interviews with rebels saying that they were the ones that did it.
But what's funny is that Israeli intelligence is saying that on the ground, where they have a lot of spies, that it was the rebels that set it off.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Waking Up in America with Dr. Val Kirkgaard, Randy Shan, Dr. Louise Constantine, and Ellen Brown. And we'll be right back, and we'll be talking more about this and how you can participate and what you can do. Visit WakingUpInAmerica.com and sign up for our newsletter and check out our sponsors. They are on the right-hand side of the page. Yes, they are. And I'm going to mention them quickly now. So top of the page, we have presenting sponsor Kayani, which is the word for strong medicine. Hopefully, Luis will give us... will give us some inspiring story about that, this wonderful heart surgeon that has, he's technically not a heart surgeon, he's technically a heart specialist, even though he does surgery sometimes, but that's not his forte. And Luis is a wonderful addition to the team. Below that, we have Dr. Val's Directed Breath, which is me, and you can click on that link. Below that, we have Ear Coning, 5,000-year-old process, there's a link there. We have the Shift Network, which is all about creating peace ambassadors. We have Protandin, which is a powerful product that I find very complementary, actually, to Kayani. Between the two of them, I'm beginning to feel a little bit like Superwoman myself. We have Randy Shannon, founder of 42action.org, and she's doing classes every week so that you can find out how to handle the corruption and the irregular practices of people that are designed to make us slaves, as Ellen is pointing out so well. We have Aquachi foot baths, which are amazing, amazing way to detoxify the body, and you can do that by putting your feet in the water. And there's a machine that's been put together, Michael at Aquachi. I have one of them, and that's why I called him up to have him join us. We'll be having him on the show soon to talk about it. Also, we have the Planetary Activation Organization for those of you that would like to get closer to your extraterrestrial brothers and sisters and the plans and the crop circles and information on that. Sheldon Nile and his wife Colleen are very powerful about that. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, we have Enjoy the Best Salsa and the Best Restaurant in the USA, and that would be El Pinto and the twins, Jim and Tom. My God, it's a real healthy restaurant, and they even have Kangen water there. And we have Tad Patterson, You Have the Right. So the people that support Waking Up in America, as you can tell from what we are doing, and that includes Sir Jason Winterty, that includes, Patricia Bragg's Apple Cider Vinegar. I want one of her banners right now so we can put it on the site, and we want Sir Jason Winter on the site, too, because these are the drinks of Waking Up in America. A lot of the things that disturb you are handled by these drinks. It's very wise to be drinking apple cider vinegar every day. Besides the incredible line of products that Patricia Bragg has,
she has a drink, and a vinegar drink, and I'm sure Randy will have 2 or 3 cents to say on that one because we're both sold on this stuff.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, huh? Every day, right, in the refrigerator?
Every single day, and then I throw my minerals in it from Youngevity, and I throw in MSM powder, which is phenomenal for your bones. If anybody has anything wrong with their bones, that is what you want to use.
Yeah,
methyl sulfate something. I get it off of David Wolf's site. I think it's Sun Food Diet or Sun Food something.
There you go. Remember, you guys, Hercules was born today, but we're helping Hercules, all of you who are Hercules, keep up our strength because we need our strength, we need our clarity, and we need our forward action. And for alkaline restructured water, Brooke Peterson is available at 561-628-1845. That's 561-628-1845. And I did want to mention a particular friend of mine, actually. She's become a friend. I met her when I was back visiting Mary Louise for all of her parties. And her name is Daniela, and she has a company called Queen of the Meadow, naturally handcrafted goodies for your body and your home. And Queen of the Meadow is a charming Swiss woman who's into being incredibly clever with recycling. She's actually building a house out of objects that she found in the junkyard. And she's just amazing human being. Well, she's put together a line of health products, and I just wanted to send you to queenofthemeadow.com. And visit it. I've been using a couple of her products for over a month now. I like to use things for a little while before I talk about them. So I've used her products, and I like them very much. They're very natural. So Queen of the Meadow, thank you for coming into my life. We met in Park City, Utah, crossing with Mary Louise and her sisters, and I were walking down the street, and here came the Queen of the Meadow, and we just clicked and started talking. So Queen of the Meadow, this is for you. And once again, we're on the air with Randy Shannon, Ellen Brown, author of Public Bank Solution, and Dr. Louise Constantine. Louise, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, there are a couple things that are not related to each other. The first is, since we've been talking about Syria, I think I forwarded you a letter from the Evangelical Synod of Syria and Lebanon to the Presbyterian Church in the United States. And what they were requesting is that while they're condemning any chemical attacks and violence, they were really asking for the U.S. and the U.S. Congress to avoid any additional use of military force in their country, indicating that this would only multiply suffering and human destruction.
Right.
So these are the voices, you know, from the people in Syria itself asking us to stay away. I think that's something that we should all be aware of.
Not only be aware of, I'm actually going to ask our listeners if you can just respect that, the request. Can we just, as a nation, can we reclaim our pride and can we respect the request of many, what, there's only two countries in the entire world that think that this is a good idea. I'm sorry, I don't buy the European Union, Randy.
I don't either. They're obviously bought and paid for after I read that.
Because that's not true. Not true from anything I've heard, unless they've been threatened to be bombed themselves or something like that. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Hey, I got something to lighten the mood a second.
Oh, go for it.
It's a breaking news story. Little Rock School District will now make teachers wear underwear. Imagine
that.
How
are they going to know whether the people are wearing the underwear or not?
Well,
are they going to have to go through a panty check every morning?
Well, apparently somebody's been busted not wearing some underwear over there, and people are getting fed up with it. So they had all kinds of, and this is for teachers now, mind you, not even the students. They have their dress code as well, but yeah, there's going to be some policing going on the teachers. But as a teacher, I can't imagine that you would not have some dignity and wear underwear. And it goes on and on.
I bet they weren't wearing bras. I bet
but that's what it was.
That was also
that was
in the article. They cannot go braless anymore, and they can no longer wear cutout dresses and spaghetti straps.
What is it? Oh, cutout dresses, the back out or something, or what is it? I'm not even that.
Yeah, back out and then braless. Could you imagine?
I wonder if you can wear undershirts. They're so much more comfortable.
So flip-flops have been banned, but bras and underwear are now having to be mandated. Oh, and the very worst of all, no spandex.
No spandex.
So you rock. Whoop, you're on the map today. Very good to be known for this.
You know, I was thinking about I had such great teachers. I mean, I feel sorry for people today, to tell you the truth. We may have texting and computers and all of that kind of cool stuff, but the truth of the matter is I loved going to school.
I did, too, and I can remember, well, I went to school in the 50s and 60s, and I remember wearing, when I was in high school, I wore nylons and a garter belt and, you know, a tight waist, and I couldn't even stand there for work now. But
did you ever plump up your petticoats with starch? Do you remember that thing? Did you go through that at all?
Yeah.
Take your petticoats and you'd starch them all up and then you'd put them on.
We had that for Pep Club. We had these starched skirts that went way out. Yep.
See, we are real human beings. We're not just upset with the direction of the country.
There also was an article, John Stewart, now I can't repeat the exact title, but John Stewart, he's got the late night talk show. He said Obama's red line, because he's talked about this red line drawn in the sand or whatever, is actually, now I'm not going to say the real word, a penis measuring ribbon. So he's like, word. Yeah, that's the headline. John Stewart's comment, Obama's red line is actually I'm saying that body part measuring ribbon. I'm not going to say what John Stewart actually said. People can go look it up. It's on thedailycaller.com. It's a headline. So, you know, it's very embarrassing to our nation that our president is just mocked everywhere. He has no respect because he's not.
You mean the Nobel laureate, Obama?
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Peace. I don't know if he knows the definition of P-E-A-C-E. But, yeah.
I had an urge to go over to Sweden and wring their necks when they gave
him that
prize.
Is that where it comes out of?
Pardon?
Is that where it comes out of?
I think so. Is it, Louis, do you know? Isn't the Nobel Peace Prize out of Sweden?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so, and I mean, it's so Orwellian, the idea that you create peace by going to war. It's it's just not the way you create peace. I mean, taking them to the International Criminal Court would be a good idea. That's what they should do.
Well, how come nothing's happened to Bush or Cheney or any of them?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you do hear that other countries have taken them up on charges successfully, and then they end up canceling. I mean, you read it. I don't know if it's fact, but I've read that Bush has canceled plans to go to certain countries because he'd get picked up the moment he stepped in across the border, you know. So I have heard that. They've successfully brought him up on charges, but grabbing him is another thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know, we have a medical doctor on the show here who's a heart specialist, and I normally at the half hour have ended the conversation of what I'm upset about. You can tell I'm really upset because we've gone 10 minutes later. Dear doctor, do you have anything you'd like to share with us from your doctoring world that may or may not be related to this?
Sure. I'm going to free associate for a couple of minutes based on the conversation we've had. So you'll have to spare, you know, give me a little room here. To do this.
Take what
but
you
the
need,
first
sir.
Thing is that we were talking before the show about bone health and bone health in women in particular. And I one of the things that is not a standard of care in the United States that perhaps should be is the use of vitamin K2 MK7 to treat and prevent osteoporosis. So this is based on really the observation comes from Japan, where people in rural Japan who eat natto, you know, folks who aren't familiar with natto, you know, it's a fermented soybean dish. I think of it as the Japanese equivalent of blue cheese. I don't know if that's exactly fair, but the bottom line is it contains a large quantity of this particular type of vitamin K, and it is very effective at restoring and supporting bone health and actually helping reduce calcifications in the vasculature, in your blood vessels. So it actually is available in prescription strength in Japan, but you can get this online if you want to. Vitamin K2, MK7, and 200 micrograms a day would be worthwhile using, and that probably is far more effective an intervention than the standard therapies that we offer here for osteoporosis. I think everybody knows about the calcium paradox. The societies that consume the largest amount of calcium, calcium-containing foods, dairy products, etc., in the world, are also the societies that have the highest rate of hip fracture. So, yeah.
And calcium would be like in milk, right?
Yeah, like in milk or calcium supplements or however you get it. But vitamin K2, MK7 is probably a real solution.
Even orange juice. Lewis said, they say calcium added when you go to the store and you look at orange juice.
Well, it's
but when they add it in things like that, Val, it's a very low grade. That's not healthy. And a lot of times the orange juice sits so long that they actually are injecting orange dye in it. There's good stories about that. It's not necessarily what you think you're getting. I digress. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, no, that's great. The other thing I want to mention is that there is experimental work, not so much human work, but experimental work in other animal models of tocotrienols, you know, the very potent form of vitamin E, and we find that in Kyani Sunset, that also shows that tocotrienols are very supportive of bone health, and again, an animal model can reverse osteoporosis. So, I think based
well,
on
slow
that,
down, slow down. What can reverse osteoporosis?
Well, the vitamin K2, MK7, but also
right.
tocotrienols.
Right, and is there anything else? Or it sounded like there was something else and you were just moving past it. Maybe it was just me, eager for advice.
No, I was pointing out that on the basis of that animal work, you know, that's what we have at the moment, and what we know about NATO and K2, MK7 in people, that those should probably be self-administered to support bone health. And I think that, I'll go out on a limb, but I think that that's a more potent combination of interventions than what you'll find in the standard of care for osteoporosis prevention and treatment in America. The other thing,
wondered if Ellen wanted to comment on what you had just said, because she has such an extensive health background.
I also have just had hip surgery. So how do you spell that, tocotrienols? I'm taking notes.
Well, that's tocotrienols. And you'll find that is a significant component of the Kyani health triangle.
How do you spell Kyani?
K-Y-A-N-I.
It means strong medicine, Ellen.
Okay, cool.
I really got into it. I told Mary Louise, I said, this is it. This is the last thing I'm doing like this in my whole life. I'm stopping here. I finally found it. I've done a number of the pieces, Ellen. You know,
uh-huh.
Like I did this piece over here with this company and that. And I will never stop Protandin either. These are my favorite things on the planet outside of water.
So is there a website? How do you order?
You go to the our website, wakingupinamerica.com, and you'll see Kyani right at the top, the sponsoring sponsor, and you just click on that and you go right over and you do that, okay? And what we're looking for, actually, besides having people be on the product, we're looking for a team of global distributors, okay? I'm calling them ambassadors. I myself went to the 2005 Nobel Laureates Conference in Rome, and I'm planning on going to Warsaw this year for the Nobel Laureates Conference there. So I've seen myself as an ambassador for many years, and then I was an ambassador for the Republic of the United States of America for a couple of years. I say that Kyani Distributors, and by the way, the company is extremely generous to the people that participated in it. I mean, like extremely generous. The people that own this company, Ellen, they were well handled long before they ever got into the country, and they haven't taken one cent out of this country, this company, in, what is it, 7-8 years now, Lewis?
I think it's actually 5 years.
Well, 5 years was the new company, but they were
right.
started before that. Okay.
It was a bricks and mortars business, I think. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The length of time is somewhere between 7 and 8 years. They've never taken any money out. They're not up to that. They're actually into empowering people and creating this strong medicine all over the planet. So
wow,
it's got
great.
Me on every level, patriotism, global ambassadorship, comfort and finances. And by the way, the people in Kayani, it's if you wanted to move into a world, it's generosity across the board. And Randy, I'm going to ask you to be on a call. Pardon?
I'm so into things that are body supporting, and you know what they're recommending now for osteoporosis.
What are they recommending?
Well, it's things like Boniva, and they're substituting phosphorus for calcium, basically. And so what are they called? I forget the name of them, but anyway. So they're substituting weaker bone. They're blocking the ability of the body to tear down bone. So the old weakened bone is still in there. So it looks on X-ray like the bone is thicker, but it's a weaker form of thickness. And I have a good friend who was on Boniva, and she just stepped out of her bed, and her bone just fractured in a horrible way. And my dentist has said that anybody that's on those on that type of drug, they're different ones. That their teeth shatter. That you can't work on their teeth. So, and then now I just had hip surgery, and they told me to take Forteo. So I looked that stuff up, and it's a substitute parathyroid hormone, but it's not a complete parathyroid hormone, and it's parathyroid hormone is what breaks down bones. So I don't know. It's just all
modern
medicine.
You do know, actually. You actually do know, don't you?
Know what?
When you say I don't know, you do know.
Right.
Well,
you're just being adorable again, okay?
It's
David Wolf and naturalnews.com, they all talk about taking like a direct calcium supplement from a store. It's no good because anybody who's ever had the strongest bones, any culture, anywhere in the world that had the strongest bones, they got their calcium direct from the food that they ate, and that's how they had those super strong bones, like ridiculously strong, like caveman strong.
And this is why Kayani is so important, okay? Because
that's right. From the
it
food.
Represents a culture that doesn't have any of the things we're complaining about, okay? And
well,
that's why I gave this show over to Kayani. This is we're entering, next week we'll be entering our 27th year in radio, and I have never given a presenting sponsor what I'm giving this one because I just see so much possibility across the board with it. And, Lewis, I wondered if you wanted to comment on anything that Ellen had said.
Yeah, there are a couple of things. One is what Ellen said is absolutely correct. I mean, it's medical science and pharmaceutical science gone awry. I mean, I'd almost like to say somewhat criminal. It's just that, you know, my colleagues...
It's not somewhat criminal. It's criminal.
It is criminal.
I'll say it. You don't have to. You're a good guy. I'll say
well,
it. It's criminal.
I will say it because my colleagues who use these and make these recommendations really do it are well-intentioned. But I think that, you know... the system has really obfuscated reality here.
Try to lie to them.
Yeah, but the data is clear. I mean, if you look at what we know by looking around the globe at populations who are spared X, Y, or Z, in this case osteoporosis, it's easy to see how to manage this problem. We talked about that. The other thing I want to say, since we were talking about Kayani, is that for the listenership and Ellen, if you want to also, you can look at a website, feelbetterwithkayani.com, feelbetterwithkayani.com. It's just a sales landing but content page. You can ignore the light sales push at the end. I just wanted to summarize some information about the product.
You got 1 minute.
and for distributors around the globe, if it will help you get the word out. I guess that's my piece.
Oh, that's pretty good. You can also, for those of you that love science, you can go to kayanisience.com as well. And once again, Kayani is spelled K-Y-A-N-I. Well, Ellen Brown, did you get an earful this morning? And we got an earful from you. Is there? Would you like to take a minute or so and like make sure you deliver all the you know the conclusion or whatever you'd like to lead us to on this?
Okay. Well, to say on that, I've been tempted to write a book. I did write 10 books on health, and now I have 2 books on banking. And banking has gotten to be such a big issue right now that, of course, all my focus is on banking. But I'm tempted to write something like disease as a business or as a revenue stream. Why modern medicine doesn't work? I mean, it's just the whole model is that you've got to make money off it, and if you can't make money, they don't push it. So, for example, that Forteo is $600 a month. That's the drug that they're wanting me to take for because I just had hip surgery and I guess I have weak bones. This is a small thing, but, you know, generally I'm opposed to drugs, but painkillers, I have to say, serve a purpose, like if you're in the hospital. So I said, I hate that Vicodin. And he said, well, what do you like? And I said, well, I had Demerol once, and I thought that was nice. And he said, oh, we can give you Demerol. So they did and gave me a prescription for it, and it's really nice. It's like drinking without the hangover, and it seems perfectly safe to me. But so I looked it up. Well, it turns out Demerol is now generic. In other words, it's no longer patentable, so they can't make any money off it. So now they're pushing Vicodin, which to me has a lot worse side effects, but they can make a lot more money off it. So as a patent runs out, you know, they scramble to find some new version where they alter some little molecule just to make it a new formula. But by altering the molecule, they've made it something unnatural to your body. I mean, it had to be unnatural to your body in the first place, or they couldn't have patented it, because you can't patent natural substances. But of course, what your body wants is natural substances. So the natural remedies are not medicine by the formal definition of medicine. In other words, they can't sell it as medicine, and so they're not going to sell it. And it's not going to be covered by insurance. They're not going to do FDA studies on it, et cetera. So it's a horrible system, and it all goes back to our capitalist
money. I hear you.
Everything's about money. But back to Syria.
You got 1 minute.
Oh, okay. Well, I just read an article on how in the 1990s they freed, it was Larry Summers, who is now Obama's first choice to replace Ben Bernanke as Fed Reserve Chairman. Larry Summers and Timothy Geithner had this secret deal with the banks in order to open up the world to derivatives, basically. But what they would have to do is to get everybody to join the World Trade Organization, so that all the countries would allow these big banks in with their risky derivatives products. And that's what they've done, and the holdouts are the ones that we're now calling rogue states and that we're now attacking. And then I'll just mention my websites. My 2 books on banking are Web of Debt at webofdebt.com and Public Bank Solution at publicbanksolution.com. And then I'm president of the Public Banking Institute, and what we're trying to do is to get publicly owned banks set up, like the Bank of North Dakota, at the state level, or the county level, or the city level, and we have lots of information on our website, which is publicbankinginstitute.org.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Lewis, closing comments, 1 minute.
I just wanted to say that Ellen Brown is a most unusual attorney. You just heard about Public Bank Solution and Web of Debt. But go do a little search, and you'll find an amazing array of books looking at natural solutions for health from arthritis and Nature's Pharmacy. And I'd encourage you to do that. It's a great resource. She's a great resource.
She's one of my favorite human beings on this planet. So I just wanted you to know that. Randy?
I had a tip. Stop using your microwave. It puts your food in an acidic state, and it's terrible for your body. And always express gratitude. Be happy. Celebrate life. I played the lottery. I'm hoping to win. Got lots of people I want to bless.
Hey, just my 3 minutes. Oh, wow. A little quickie here, okay? The quickie for the end of the program is, it seems to have been confirmed, but I swear to God, I'm not saying anything until I go in the bank and get the money, and then come out with it, but I've heard that on October 1st, or is it October 2nd, Wells Fargo, I think it was the 2nd, Wells Fargo Bank says they will start exchanging Iraqi dinar. Who knows for what? So,
giving you that
piece of information, I've heard it time and time again. But, you know, I heard other things time and time again. I've been riding this little horse for, like, 4 years, and it was a horse that was supposed to, like, get into the barn about a year after I started riding. So this has been a long ride, but it's I see it moving forward. I wanted to give you that good information and that good advice. Lewis, is there anything you want people to visit in your name, or anybody you'd like to give a mitzvah to today? I give a mitzvah to the Queen of the Meadow for good work and, you know, a beautiful products. Is there anybody you'd like to say thank you to?
I do. I want to refer people to Norm Shealy. Dr. Shealy, former brilliant neurosurgeon, really is a phenomenal medical intuitive. He's now 80, 81. NormShealy.com or Shealy Wellness, and Shealy is S-H-E-A-L-Y. Fantastic individual, so much to offer, and I'd highly recommend get on his email list. And that's how I was introduced to Kayani, by the way.
Oh, perfect.
He's wonderful.
Perfect. Randy, somebody you want to say thank you to real fast?
Yeah, my love for the law came from my friends out in Las Vegas, Fred and Nina Gutierrez. They have a phenomenal website called WeStudyLaw.org, WeStudyLaw.org, and they teach the basics. I do my law clerk every Thursday night from 8 to 10, 42action.org, and theirs is from 10 to 11, and they do the very basics of the law. If you want a great education, I'm sorry.
I thought I heard the we've got 1 minute left. Here we go. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams in memoriam. And Dr. Valerie is all spelled out, DOCTORVALERIE.com. We thank our producers and sponsors. Ron Hayes is our wonderful research assistant who not only gives us the hard stuff, but he's got a great sense of humor. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, DeMont, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Monica. Also, Dasha, Ron Simon. Big thanks to John Thomas, our webmaster, Bent Migan, for the theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Write me at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And remember, City of Southeast 40th, do a mitzvah today. Give someone a boost. Love ya.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.